Welcome to Talk Back, today's latest edition of Talk Back, hosted by yours truly, Gloria Shea. We're coming to you live from the city of Cleveland, and we've got a very fun and special show for you today here on Talk Back. I want to thank our guest on the last show, Talk Back, Cardell Belford, who is a local poet and motivational speaker. He was here with us 2 weeks ago here on Talk Back. We want to thank him for a marvelous show. And now we're going to talk about some fun stuff. We're going to talk about cigars and why cigar lounges have become so popular. We're going to talk about that. I have a special guest with me today. His name is Philip. He is part owner of the Renwood Luxury Cigar Lounge here in the city of Cleveland. He has three locations. We're going to have some fun today. Be sure and go to our chat. And if you have a question, if you're new to cigar lounges, if you're wanting to learn more about the popularity of cigar smoking in the lounges today, please drop us a question in our chat line. We'll be sure to make sure that Philip gets that question and he answers it for you. Hi, Philip, are you there?
Hello, how are you?
Great, I'm awesome today. Thanks for being my special guest today on Talk Back Live. It's good to have you. We're going to talk about your business today, which I'm sure for you is a fun business and probably one of your favorite hobbies. We're going to talk about cigar aficionados. And I learned that when doing a little bit of research about cigar lounges. Why has cigar lounges become so popular today?
Well, I think cigar lounges, they kind of, they model or mimic, if you will, barbershops and salons. So if you think about barbershops and salons, beauty, you know, shops or whatever, those are places where people can go, be themselves, do a little bit of gossiping, but basically just, you know, let their hair down and relax. So what you have with a lot of cigar lounges is pretty much the same thing. It's a gathering place for people to vet out ideas and things of that nature. But also, you know, everyone has something in common when they come here. And that's either the culture or just cigars, you know, themselves. It's the same thing at barbershops. You know, you go to a barbershop, everyone's getting their haircut. So when you come to a cigar lounge, it puts you in a place to where you have something in common, even if you don't know that person. That's the love of the culture. And then you get to know that person after, you know, you guys are all put in the same location.
Is that right? And so tell me this, what prompted you and your partners to actually start the business? Was it because your love of cigars or wine?
Well, I know for myself, it was definitely the love of cigars. I'm 43. I've been smoking cigars since I was 18. So I got into the industry because I was a pharmaceutical rep with Shearing Plough as an intern in college. And so my manager, Mr. Gervasi, he said, hey, you're going to need to pick up something to catch the attention of the doctors. And that was either going to be cigars or golf balls. Well, I picked up cigars. And so over time, it just, you know, became a love affair and something I wanted to do long term. So for me, it was the love of cigars.
The love of cigars. How long have you been a cigar smoker? Or connoisseur, I should say, of cigars.
Well, you know, connoisseur is kind of a tricky word because you always learn something new every day about cigars. And there's always someone that knows a lot more than you. So I would say I've been really, you know, hardcore probably for the last 12, 13 years. But I've been smoking quite a bit longer than that. But, you know, really getting into the different types of earth that the tobacco is grown in and different leaves and climates and stuff like that, I'd probably say the last 12, 13 years.
Tell us now, you have three locations here in the city of Cleveland. Briefly share with us the locations. Let's start off there. Where are your locations here in the city of Cleveland?
There's one location in Euclid, which is 524 East 200. East 200 Street, Euclid, Ohio. There's one in Tremont, which is 2681 West 14th Street, Cleveland. That's Tremont. And then there's another location that I'm affiliated with in Shaker Heights. 3581 Lee Road, Shaker Heights, Ohio. So those three.
Awesome. Yeah, we've got a lot of ears right here in the local, in the city of Cleveland, as well as in other states. And I've been to your location on Euclid, in Euclid there on the East 200th Street. Beautiful location, very nice decor. And just really myself personally taking an interest in cigars. It was on my bucket list to try a cigar, right? Because, I mean, let's face it, years ago, it wasn't very popular that I knew of that females even smoke cigars, right? So it was on my bucket list, and I thought, you know, I'd give it a try. I had a relative in from out of town, and she said, well, you know, hey, you should try it. And I did, and I tell you, it was very relaxing. And and I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. This is pretty cool. Tell us a little bit about the different type of people who frequent cigar lounges.
Okay. Well, it's a myriad of people. You know, cigar smokers or enthusiasts, I think they cover the entire spectrum of just personalities, individuality, etc. So, you know, you have some young guys or young ladies that are just getting into it, that may be in their mid-20s, you know, all the way to to grandfathers that are 85 years old, lawyers, you know, garbage men, doctors. It doesn't matter. You know, there's no right or wrong way to do it, and there's no right or wrong personality when it comes to cigar smoking. So literally, you see everyone, you know, white, black, Chinese, or European. It really doesn't matter. Everyone comes in that door, or one of the doors, and you just kind of have to be able to talk to everyone, because you can't pigeonhole one personality into who should be smoking a cigar, because there's no right or wrong way to do it. Not necessarily. I mean, people will say that there is, but there's not. It's all about your palate and what you like. So there are certain decorum and things of that nature when you come to a cigar lounge that, you know, we expect you to know certain things, but primarily it's up to the individual. And, you know, when you have a wide gamut like that, you're going to get individuality, which is pretty much everybody. So the cigar culture is open to everyone.
That's pretty good. That's pretty interesting. Was it like that before, though? I mean, because years ago, I always thought, now my dad smoked cigars, right?
Right.
And back in the 70s and 60s and 70s, as a kid, I didn't think it was very attractive. I'll be honest, right? Yep. I didn't like the smell of it. I thought it was too smoky. And but he was a consumer of it then. But when I grew up a little bit and got out into the world a little bit, I always thought cigar smokers were really upper echelon folks, you know, guys, things like that. But really today, just as you just explained it, it's really people, it's everyone now. It's a collective group that are fond of cigars.
Well, I think that what you remember is more of the European side of smoking cigars, because the culture started in Central South America with the Mayans. The Mayans were the first culture that we know on record to start rolling tobacco, the Mayans. So from there, it kind of went over to Cuba and was perfected in Cuba. And of course, European nations, they picked it up from there and they put their spin on it. And that's more of the formal smoky lounges and real uptight people. That came more or less from the European side once they came to the Caribbean and places like that and picked up this great product. So, I mean, if you go to Cuba now or you look at some of the pictures, they're having a great time. It's not as formal. It's easy. You see a lot of women that are on, you know, just on the block or whatever, smoking cigars. It's very informal there. So I think that the formality or the formalness that you're talking about came from, you know, the Europeans, the guys, this is the boys club or the men's clubs, and, you know, women can't get in, things of that nature. So to answer your question, yes, I think that 25, 30 years ago, it was very formal because it hadn't been opened up to multiple cultures. It wasn't multicultural, even though it started as being more cultural, then it kind of got right, you know, so it's just now coming back. From where it started.
Yeah, most definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely. So here's another question, right? You know the different types of cigars and things like that, and as far as the expensive ones versus the moderate price cigars. Is there anything out there, I mean, really, be honest with the audience, as far as a good, cheap cigar? Is there such a thing? Or all the cigars, really, you have to really, you know, there's a certain bar?
Well, you can find... Actually, there are some very good cigars. We call them house blends. And it's possible to pick one of those up for $6-$7, sometimes $5.
Wow.
Because it just depends on the manufacturer, depends on the type of tobacco, how long it's been aged, what country it was grown in, because the tobacco takes on different complexities, flavors from the earth that it's grown in. Like I really like Nicaraguan tobacco. Some people love Dominican, some love Cuban, and they all have a different flavor profile to them based upon the minerals that are in the earth in those, you know, areas of the world. So yes, I mean, it is possible to find a good cigar for $5. You can find a great cigar for $10, you know, anything above around $15. I mean, you're just spending a lot of money. You don't have to, you know.
Right.
The more you know about cigars, you just buy what your palate likes. I mean, a lot of people's palate, they like a cheaper cigar, but that's what they like. There's no right or wrong way to do it. And you have some that have trained themselves to where they can't smoke anything under a $30 cigar. That's just what they want. It's not different than, you know, someone that buys a Chevrolet, I don't know, Cobalt, or somebody that buys a Mercedes S-Class. They both have four wheels. They're both going to get you there. Probably, you know, it's just how do you want to get there? So, and that depends on your personal taste. Same thing with cigars.
Right. Yeah. Just curious on that. Mm-hmm. I also discovered there's such a thing as cigar lounge etiquette, right? Mm-hmm. Because I mean, I've been to your establishment. It's very nice. It's very upscale. And I wondered, what is the proper etiquette for someone who's just getting, or just, you know, just starting to show interest in going out to the lounges? And I discovered there's some do's and some don'ts, right? Number one, the don'ts. Don't talk politics. What's your take on that? Don't blow smoke in someone's face. Those are some of the things that I discovered about what not to do with cigar lounges.
Well, let's go to blowing smoke in someone's face. I mean, I don't think that has anything to do with the lounge. I don't think you would do that anywhere. That's just not polite. So that's not a rule that I know of. It's just one of the things that just, you know, as you know, being in society, you don't want to offend anyone.
Right.
You're not going to blow smoke.
Just bad manners. Yeah,
that's just bad.
That's bad etiquette anywhere. Yeah.
That's just bad.
What about it says here, don't judge others. Don't ask to try someone else's cigar. How about that?
That would definitely be a negative. Because for one, well, you got to think about all the different germs that are going around now, COVID and everything else. And that's just not very sanitary anyway. So that's not necessarily a rule either. That's just kind of common sense. But at the same time, we do, if you're going to enjoy the lounge, we do require you to buy at least one cigar. So you don't want to have a situation where you got five women or five guys, you know, all breaking cigars, right? Or all smoking from the same cigar. So I guess you could say it's not a written rule, but it's something that you wouldn't want to do. We wouldn't agree with it. And talking politics, no. People talk politics all the time. I mean, you know, there are all types of different conversations. We would ask you to do it. If you're going to talk it, go to an area where you guys can be secluded, keep your, you know, keep your voice down, because you don't want to offend someone else at the other end of the lounge. And everyone doesn't want to be a part of your conversation. So we're not going to tell you what to talk about, but just do it within moderation and respect the fact that there are other people here that may not feel the same way you do or share the same values or whatever. So, but I mean, you can talk about what you want to.
Awesome. You're listening to Talk Back, hosted by yours truly, Gloria Shea. Be sure to check us out on our YouTube page. Go there for us and like and subscribe. You can pick up our podcast at wherever platform, all podcast platforms are. Be sure and check us out. We're going to take a quick break right now. We'll see you on the other side. Stay tuned. All right. Hi, welcome back to Talk Back Live, hosted by yours truly, Gloria Shea. I certainly hope you're having a great weekend today. It's Saturday, August 14th. We're talking some fun information. We're talking about cigar etiquette and the rage now for cigar lounges. I have a special guest on. I have Philip on, who's part owner of the Renwood Luxury Cigar Lounge right here in the city of Cleveland. And we have a question for you, Philip. I have a viewer on who has a question, and they want to know, let's see here. They're wondering about Cuba and the cigars there. Why is the Cuban cigar, why is it the level of the status that it is? And I know right now there's still an embargo with Cuba, so we're not able to get Cuban cigars here in the States, but they want to know, why is a Cuban cigar the level of status that it is?
Well, to understand that, you got to kind of go back to its current iteration of what a cigar looks like, the rolling method, and that was pretty much perfected in Cuba. Earlier, we were talking about where it started. It started with the Mayans. They were the ones that started rolling tobacco and smoking it. But it was perfected in Cuba. The hand rolling process was perfected in Cuba. And just the tobacco flavor that comes out of Cuba is very rich and very distinct. And also, 99% of Cuban cigars that you can get a hold of are called Puros, P-U-R-O. Which means that all of the different parts of that cigar, the filler, the binder, the wrapper, they're all from Cuban tobacco. So it gives it just a great flavor. So what you have is, number one, the Cuban people perfected the rolling process. Two, the tobacco is just fantastic as far as the flavor. And three, it's illegal. So it's almost taboo. You know, if it was the Dominican Republic or Honduras or Puerto Rico and it was illegal to get them, it would be highly sought of. It just so happens that being that they were the people that perfected it, and it's great tobacco on top of the fact that you can't get it legally, that makes it taboo, that makes it highly sought after.
I see. Okay. Another question, if you're asked in the chat, is with the legalization of weed for marijuana since the 90s, cigars have been used for blunts and how the attention has been brought to a good rolling leaf for burn and flavor. Not sure what that is. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I get it. So I don't smoke marijuana, but I will say that if you go back to the 90s, what happened was a lot of more prominent Black people, affluent people, rappers, movie stars, etc. That's when you started seeing them smoking cigars. And as far as from a cultural standpoint, people started looking at it like, oh man, it kind of looks cool. I remember when a lot of rappers were coming out smoking cigars. I had started a little bit before that, but it started getting into the mainstream and into your consciousness or whatever of smoking cigars from some of the more affluent, prominent, you know, Black people. That's number one. Now, it really doesn't translate to smoking weed, because that's something I would never recommend you do. If you buy a $15 cigar and you want to break it down and put weed in it, you just wasted your money. Because the $15 that you paid was not just for the leaf. It was for the binder and the filler. It's three components of a cigar. The filler, which is most of the tobacco, which is most of the flavor. Well, not most of the flavor. A lot of the flavor comes from the leaf. But the three components are the reason why you spend $15, $20 on a cigar. So cutting it up just for the leaf, we'd never advise that. I've only had maybe three people do that I know of in years of selling cigars. That's just not, you know, you can go to the gas station and buy some shells if that's what you want to do. You don't ruin a premium cigar to roll weed in.
I would think so. It makes perfectly good sense to me. Let's still talk a little bit about cigar etiquette for those who, like I said, are developing an interest in cigars. One of the don'ts, it says here, don't stamp out your cigar in the ashtray. Is that a yes, yay, or a nay? I mean, is that a don't do?
I would say it's a don't do, but ultimately you can't tell someone what they're going to do with their own cigar, especially once they've purchased it. Primarily, you should let it burn out on its own if you can, or if you intend on smoking it later, cut the end off that you lit. And you do that for a couple of reasons. I mean, if you stamp the ash back into the cigar by putting it out, you pretty much ruined it if you were looking to smoke it later, because now it's going to have a lot of ash that you're going to reburn, and it's going to have a horrible flavor to it. That's number one. Number two, it kind of makes a mess in the ashtray. We used to do that, but I mean, we clean them out anyway. So there again, it really comes back to what you want to do with your cigar. I can't tell you. I'm not going to come over to tell you don't do that to it. I mean, it's yours. And, you know, that's so a lot of stuff is mythical. That's kind of a mythical thing. We're not going to be sticklers on that. You know, if you want to stamp it out, go ahead. You just may not be able to enjoy the flavor profile of that cigar like you would have if you hadn't stamped it out. But then again, we always say if you're going to smoke a cigar, you probably want to smoke it in one sitting or one seating anyway, because it's never going to taste the same again once you relight it. It doesn't matter if you cut the end off or stamp it out or whatever. It's just not going to have the same pure flavor profile. So.
Okay. One more question. Another viewer is asking, are there seasonal flavors in cigars as there is with beer and liquor? And what is your best match with a good cigar as in a smooth drink?
Okay. So yes, you do have seasonal blends. Rocky Patel has a winter blend. Oliva makes the Nub, which is a smaller cigar. They have a harvest blend, a fall blend. And those are seasonal. They only come out around Halloween, Christmas, things of that nature. So you do have some of that. What's going on? In addition to that, when it comes to pairing a cigar, you're talking about pairing something with a smooth drink. It depends on what drink it is. You know, is it vodka? Is it bourbon? Or, you know, some type of Tennessee whiskey? It just depends. And I would need to know what type of libation or what type of liquor it is to be able to make a decent pairing with a cigar. It all varies. I mean, if you're drinking a lighter liquor, I would say a lighter cigar, like a Connecticut leaf or a Habano leaf or something like that. If you're going with a stronger or a darker cigar, like a bourbon or a cognac, you may want to pair that with an Oscuro or Maduro or Criollo or something like that. It just depends on, you know, what you're drinking. But there again, it all depends on your palate as well. You know, you have some people that will drink a darker liquor and they love a Monte Cristo white label, which is a Connecticut, Ecuadorian Connecticut. So it all depends on how you graduate your palate and what you ultimately like yourself.
Awesome. Good information. Thank you, viewers out there, and for all those great questions. I hope we answered, was able to help you there in your search for a great cigar luxury lounge, Wynwood. I would definitely recommend checking them out. They have three locations. They are located right here in the city of Cleveland, 524 East 200 Street, right here in Euclid. And their phone number there at that location is 216-356-6384. I'll repeat, 216-356-6384. Check them out. Go by and tell Philip hi. Make sure you let him know that Talkback did send you. It's been a great show. And let's talk a little bit before we close. We've got a few moments left. What are some of the things that you offered at the lounge, or ladies' night, or do you have entertainment? Is it open for someone to rent it out? Things like that.
Right. Yeah. So, two of the lounges, definitely we allow people to rent them out for birthday parties. We've had a few engagement parties, things of that nature. So we do allow the space to be rented. One of the stipulations is, of course, we do require that you purchase cigars, because it's not an actual venue. This is a cigar store and lounge. So we'll let you enjoy the space, but we do require that you at least purchase a cigar per patron. That's, of course, kind of goes without saying. Also, from time to time in the past, we would have live bands here, but with COVID, we didn't do that for a year, and now it's coming back, it looks like. So I'm not sure about the bands, because we try to keep the crowd, you know, kind of cold a little bit, because we want to make sure we're respecting everyone's health and just being responsible with the, you know, the types of events that we have. Every once in a while, we have a ladies' night, which is on Thursdays at Redwood. So we do a few different events. We've had cigar and whiskey pairings, tastings, things of that nature. So, and we're always open to different ideas. So definitely reach out
awesome.
To us.
Something you awesome. Want to do. Awesome. What a great show. Thank you again, Philip, for being my special guest today. Be sure and tell the other fellas I said hello. I'll be stopping in to see you sometime real soon. Okay. What a fun show. They're located, again, that's Wynwood Luxury Cigar Lounge, located 524 East 200 Street in Euclid, right here in the city of Cleveland, 216-356-6384. Be sure, go to our Facebook page, check us out, go to our YouTube page, like and subscribe. We've got a special guest coming up on the next Talkback Live, Justin Glanville from IdeaStream. He is the host of IdeaStream, our local public television, right here in the city of Cleveland. We want to thank you for tuning again with us. I hope you enjoyed the show today as much as I did. Be sure to check us out. Go to our page, like, and subscribe. Until next time, I'm Eric.
All right. Thank you all.
That's a wrap. Hope you enjoyed the show today. Be sure and go to our Facebook page, Talkback, a thought-provoking talk format. That's Talkback, a thought-provoking talk format. Leave us a review. Let us know what you think of Talkback. It can only make us better. Be sure to check us out on Spotify. Also, Twitter, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, wherever podcasts are heard. Be sure to check us out on YouTube. Again, thank you for listening. Until next time, America.
You have been listening to Talk Back with My Grandma on Spotify. Be sure and catch her every weekend. Oh, and by the way, my name is Kari. Bye.